Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Ever since the Book of Mormon was published in 1830, critics have tried to explain away authorship away from Joseph Smith. We're going to look at some of these collaborator theories, including the Spalding theory, with Dr. Brian Hales. He'll look deeper at these and find out why he says they are not compatible or good reasons to believe in other authorship of the Book of Mormon. Check out our conversation. Well, that's not why we're here, but I appreciate you indulging me with a little talk about polygamy there. So, and I remember the last time we talked, you said that your latest project was on the Book of Mormon. And so, so can you go ahead and introduce that to us?
Oh, I would love to. And let me tell you, talking about the Book of Mormon is a lot more fun than talking about polygamy. I don't like polygamy. I would never want to do it. But while I was researching plural marriage, and I jumped in with both feet in about 2007. Mm-hmm. That's when Don Bradley and I started working together. I had people that would ask me, are you sure you want to do this? Are you afraid of what you're going to find about Joseph Smith? It could, you know, well, you think it'll hurt your testimony and things like this. And in the back of my mind, I thought Joseph could not have written the Book of Mormon at 23 as a farmer. So he must have been a prophet in 1829, and so I think he was still a prophet in 1841, 42, 43. So I never thought he lost the mantle. And I know that's one theory. And
actually, a lot of restoration groups do believe that Joseph lost the mantle, right, which is why there are all these other restoration groups.
Well, if you talk to Steve Shields, I mean, he's found how many hundreds?
Yeah.
And some of them embrace plural marriage, and some want to cut everything off after Kirtland, and there's quite a variety there. There's hundreds.
But some of them are still being born?
Yeah, well, and they are, yeah. I mean, how old is the Denver Snuffer group? And they're quite large right now, I understand. So, but in the back of my mind, I thought Joseph started as a prophet, and I never thought that waned, but I was open to, polyandry never felt right to me. It was the thing that bothered me. And of course, now I'm convinced he wouldn't have done it, wouldn't have permitted it. But at the time, I didn't know. And so I jumped in. And that's a story we've talked about. But once I finished with plural marriage, and we get to a point where you've kind of said all you need to say, and other voices need to come in and talk about it, I says, let's test this theory. You think Joseph couldn't have written the Book of Mormon. So I gathered a database, and it's got 180 published sources, and nowadays so much is just on the internet. You could add another 50, I think, if you just went with internet sources and the published, but well over 200 different explanations by naturalists. And a naturalist is somebody who thinks Joseph used his natural abilities to create the words of the Book of Mormon. So I call them naturalists. It's not pejorative. I'm not trying to be critical or a secular, someone who thinks it's coming from a purely secular source, yeah, of Joseph Smith.
It does seem like there are a lot of people that are taking the challenge. Well, if this didn't come from God, it had to come from Joseph Smith. So I've got to come up with an explanation for that, how that happened, right?
Well, actually, I like what you just said, but nobody is trying to come up with a really explanation of how he was able to produce the words. There's some general theories, and we'll talk about them in a minute. Mm-hmm. But that was the focus of this database, is what are the theories that people have promoted? Maybe we should talk about them now. I've isolated 8 different theories that people have promoted, naturalists, as possibly explaining how Joseph created the Book of Mormon. We've heard about the Solomon Spalding theory. In 1812, a guy named Solomon Spalding wrote a manuscript, and he shared it with his friends and neighbors, and he died 2 years later. And then the Book of Mormon comes out in 1830. Well, some of those friends and neighbors says, hey, I remember this is the same story that Solomon Spalding told me. Well, the manuscript was lost, so you couldn't check the two. You had the Book of Mormon in your hand, but you only had the memory of these people. And so everybody jumped on this bandwagon that for 50 years, it was by far and away the most popular theory. But then in 1884, they found the manuscript and compared the two.
In Hawaii, of all places.
Right, right. Well, they had it in 1834, but it wasn't similar to the Book of Mormon.
It was E.D. Howe that had it,
right? And he knew there was huge dissimilarities, but it didn't go along with the theory that he was promoting in his book. So they just deep-sixed the thing, and it emerged 50 years later in Hawaii. And I don't know, I'm sure somebody's probably tried to trace that. It's probably not too big of a mystery.
From what I understand, there was a newspaper in Pittsburgh, and then the assets got sold and ended up in Hawaii, which is just a weird story.
Well, and I haven't looked at it, but in 1884, when you compare the two, the names are different. There's some very general similarities on the fact that it's a lost manuscript that's found, and there's some talk about the origin of the Indians. But it's about 51,000 words. The Book of Mormon is nearly 270. So even if Joseph plagiarized every word, he'd still have to come up with 220,000 words on his own. So to use it as a theory isn't a real strong, real convincing, I think, interpretation.
Well, and I'd like to go in there because I do have a lot of very vocal people who still believe the Spalding manuscript is a legit theory, which my response is, read it.
Yeah, good point.
It's so stereotypically Indian. We talk about wigwams and squaws and Delawanaks and just very stereotypically Indian. Plus, it takes place, I believe, in the time of Constantine, so it's off by about 1,000 years. Just the story plot. It begins when the Book of Mormon ends, basically. I've read it. It's actually, I think, unintentionally funny. It's kind of like Gilligan's Island version of the Book of Mormon, if you ask me.
It's not high literature.
It's not.
Yeah. And there's just no similarity to the Book of Mormon.
Right.
In fact, I think BYU republished it not too many years ago just to show people, look, guys, this is what we're talking about, you know.
Yeah. And so I just tell people, if you really think Spalding has anything, just read the Spalding manuscript. And so what they've had to do is say, oh, well, you're right, it's very dissimilar from the Book of Mormon. There's a second manuscript that we don't have, you know, the magic bullet, or, you know, the grassy knoll theory or whatever. You know, we get into conspiracy theory stuff with the second manuscript. But anyway.
Well, and there's two names for it, manuscript found or manuscript lost. As I'm going through doing the write-up on this, I'm switching back and forth. And then, as you said, there is a group who say, well, there are two manuscripts. It's not two names of the same manuscript. And that lost one is where Joseph got all the ideas. Yeah. So, again, to me, it's just not credible.
I totally agree.
So... Now, the second theory is I call the collaborator theory. And this is simply that Joseph got help from a co-author, either beforehand to create a manuscript or while it's going on. Oliver Cowdery and Sidney Rigdon are the most often mentioned possible co-conspirators. But when you go to the historical record, the days that they first met Joseph are pretty well documented. And it's hard to say that somehow behind the scenes these men are collaborating with him. Travel was difficult in those days, and Joseph's only 23 with no resources, so they would have to come to him. Nobody met them. It just isn't strong. It hasn't gotten a lot of traction. The third theory is mental illness, and I've got a book. Where did I put it? Well, it's from my friend... Bill Moraine has the idea that Joseph was a dissociated personality disorder. He would dissociate, and then in that state, he could produce the Book of Mormon.
Kind of like a Mark Hoffman with the forgeries? Maybe?
Well, you know...
Emily Dickinson forgery?
Well, you know, Mark actually was just super intelligent, I think. But what this theory is that these people say Joseph had a mental illness that bestowed on him abilities he really didn't have when he was normal. And that's where he was able to produce the Book of Mormon, by using those skills that were given to him by the mental illness. It doesn't work that way.
It's kind of like John Travolta with Phenomenon, right? He gets a brain tumor that makes him super intelligent.
There you go. I hadn't thought about that analogy. But the reality is that any mental illness is going to decrease your cognitive abilities. It never increases it. I mean, I guess if you were a manic depressive, in the manic phase, you'd have lots of energy. But if you've ever seen anybody in the manic phase, their thinking is tangential. I mean, there's no way they could focus on on putting together a really intelligent sentence. A lot of the time, certainly not a book-length manuscript. If somebody were a narcissist, they'd have great confidence in what they were producing, but it wouldn't be any
Well, a lot of people accuse Joseph of being a narcissist.
You know, he does manifest some entitlement and a need for admiration, but he really does have empathy, and that's a strike against that theory. I mean, you see him deeply devoted to Emma and what seems to be extremely sincere. And so, I mean, I've thought about it too, and I'm not the first. There's whole books, I think, written on that. I don't think he had that, but I think with the visions and all that he had, he may have had a little pride there at the end. I don't know. Mm. I'm not here to criticize Joseph, but he never said he was perfect. And he told us many times, you know, don't expect me to be perfect, or I'll expect you to be perfect. But he also said there is no error in the revelations. And so and that's what I would believe. Joseph wasn't perfect, but he was God's prophet. That's where I'm coming from.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Brian Hales. In our next conversation, Brian will talk about a couple of modern historians who try to look at Book of Mormon authorship.
It's interesting. Bill is trying to give us an explanation of what's going on in Joseph's head while he's dictating the stream of words that become the Book of Mormon. Nobody else has done this. My friend Dan Vogel, you know, has published this 715-page biography.
Mm-hmm.
He never once tries to tell us how Joseph was able to create all of these final draft sentences. He just assumes Joseph could do it.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe for just $5 a month at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview before everybody else. If you'd like to watch the entire video for just $8 a month, you can either subscribe on YouTube, Patreon, or my website, gospeltangents.com. Just click the yellow subscribe button, and I'll add you to our Gospel Tangents Insiders group so that you can see entire videos. For those interested in a PDF transcript, you can subscribe at either Patreon or on my website. For just $10 a month, I'll send you a PDF as soon as it's complete. If you'd like a copy of the paperback as well as a PDF, just sign up for $20 a month at either Patreon or my website, gospeltangents.com. Of course, you can buy individual transcripts at amazon.com and just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can see all the things that we have there. Don't forget to support Gospel Tangents with an awesome t-shirt like one of these. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. Get our latest updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Also, you can get our Twitter updates at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got more of our great videos. Thanks again.